So the young people are not learning the languages anymore, and the way our crafts are being passed down, you know, they're getting distracted by more contemporary elements of modern life. So, you know, they say when the music stops, when the language is not spoken, then the culture will die. So the aim of the powwow is to show the public that we're a thriving, rich community. So we really want everyone to come out and enjoy themselves. Like I said, the gates open at 9. We're having some tremendous entertainment in the morning, followed by a fabulous grand entry. And I think that's something that nobody should miss. It's literally the cornerstone of the powwow, and that unites everyone. Bring blankets, chairs. We are not, if you do bring a canopy, the canopies can't be staked to the ground, so try to bring something to weigh it down if you need to have a canopy. But we're going to have some seating available, special seating for the elderly, veterans, and so forth. And I just encourage everyone to come out and just have a great time. It's a great family event. You know, we're just really thankful and grateful to RVCC and Dr. Kaufman and Mr. John Trojan and the President, Michael McDonough. They've been absolutely supportive, and it's rare that we get that kind of support, and we're just really grateful that we have this opportunity to bring it to the community. And so please check out the website. Again, it's www.raritanval.edu/paintedfaces. And Dr. Kaufman, could you give them that phone number again?
Yeah, 908-231-8816, and just leave a message for Stephen Kaufman, and I'll get back to you.
I just want to thank you guys so much. I do want to thank you, Dr. Kaufman at Raritan Valley, and everyone over there. This is a very, very special thing. It is overwhelmingly supported. I can feel it. You guys are wonderful. I just respect your work so much. So glad I was actually here today representing Pig C by accident, because he's out at Good Morning Hunterdon. I just wanted to ask you, Emily Raven, Standing Bear, you said that you have your radio show.
Yes.
Can you really quickly let everybody know how they can listen in? Because I think they want to continue to learn more.
Oh, absolutely. The name of the show is Voices of Our People. It's on Two Worlds Indigenous Radio, 99.5. Actually, the best way to listen to it is online, and it's every other Sunday evening from 10 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Time, and we talk about a variety of issues that affect contemporary Native people today, mascot issue, missing and murdered Indigenous women, the environmental issues. So there's tons of issues that we discuss in regards to Native people, and I'd love it if you guys could tune in. Alvon Griffin is my co-host, and we play a variety of Native music, both powwow music and contemporary Native music as well, which I think everybody will enjoy.
I'm sure they will. Again, you should put it on your calendar next Saturday if you want to come with your family to Raritan Valley Community College for the powwow, the authentic real-time powwow. And thanks so much for listening in today again on Good Morning Hunterdon. Big C will be back tomorrow, and I hope you have a great day. Thank you guys again for being here.
Thank you. We appreciate
Chris.
It. Yeah, big feel better, Chris.
Feel better, Chris.
Feel better.
The News is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with John DeMester.
The FBI, Homeland Security, and other agencies investigate the shooting death of a trooper in Virginia. Trooper Chad Durmeyer shot yesterday afternoon by a man at a station in Richmond. The gunman killed in a shootout with other troopers. Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders says his reaction to Trump's remarks about abortion were taken out of context by Hillary Clinton.
It's a serious issue. I've been spending my entire political life fighting for the right of a woman to control her own body. I have 100% voting record, pro-choice voting record.
He tells Good Morning America he'd continue fighting for a woman's right to choose if he's elected president. A Mississippi law banning adoption by same-sex couples overturned. A federal judge striking it down after four legally married same-sex couples file a lawsuit. The couples arguing that the ban discriminated against people who were legally married. This is USA Radio News, powered by USARadio.com.
Hey, it's Rusty Humphries, host of Trending Today USA, where we feature...
It's great advice. So we'll be right back. Just a second, it's 3:38. Thanks for listening in tonight.
Worst foreign policy blunder in the history of this country.
Clinton defends her judgment, saying New York voters voted for her twice. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, it's Angie Austin. Okay, seriously, I kid you not. My hair has been a problem since I was a teenager. Thin and limp and just blah looking. And now my hair has never looked better. So I want to tell you about Ovation products because I love them. And with Mom's Day around the corner, I want to tell you about a Mother's Day gift set. It comes with a new 3-bottle Ovation Cell Therapy Color Protection System. So you get the cell therapy treatment that makes your hair long and thick, the new color therapy shampoo that prevents color fading, and Ovation Color Therapy Conditioner that really helps with detangling as well. And you can customize your gift set by selecting the styling product that you want most. So choose the leave-in detangler or thermal protection spray or volume enhancer, and you get a free turban. And the good news, this year's Mother's Day gift set is specially priced, and you'll save over 50% off retail. So go to ovationhair.com while supplies last, ovationhair.com, and be sure to select Angie Austin Daybreak USA for a special introductory discount. Again, ovationhair.com.
Many Americans will be busy this week trying to get their taxes done, though we have a few extra days this year with the traditional April 15th deadline pushed to Monday the 18th. Though these Americans say they got them all done.
Lose like usual. Annoying. Unless you have deductions. Lots. Yeah.
It's very complicated. It's pages and pages and pages and pages, and you have to have somebody help you with them. You can't even do them.
Because of a holiday in Washington, D.C., the deadline being pushed back to the 18th.
For a special introductory discount, again, ovationhair.com.
Many Americans will be busy this week trying to get their taxes done, though we have a few extra days this year with the traditional April 15th deadline pushed to Monday the 18th. Though these Americans say they got them all done.
Lose like usual. Annoying. Unless you have deductions. Lots. Yeah.
It's very complicated. It's pages and pages and pages and pages, and you have to have somebody help you with them. You can't even do them.
Because of a holiday in Washington, D.C., the deadline being pushed back to the 18th. Sarah Palin says Bill Nye the Science Guy is no scientist. The former Alaska governor and 2008 Republican vice presidential candidate goes after Nye after the Washington, D.C. showing last night of that new documentary that questions people's role in climate change. She said Nye and others who say science supports the concept that humans are contributing to climate change are fueling alarmism. And the complete 2016 NFL schedule is out. The season kicking off at the Super Bowl 50 rematch between the Broncos and Carolina Panthers in Denver on Thursday, September 8th. This is USA Radio News.
Have you been to USARadio.com? The latest breaking stories, the hottest news, and the best radio all in one place. It's available for free on your smartphone, on your computer, and you can listen with your Bluetooth-enabled car. You can listen to classic radio theater. Daybreak USA with Angie Austin and my new show that takes you from online to on-air, your news feed on the radio, Trending Today USA with Rusty Humphries. Check it out, USARadio.com. That's USARadio.com.
The White House says the actions of Russian warplanes against the U.S. Navy destroyer this week violated an agreement signed back in 1972. USA Radio's Chris Barnes has more.
It's the bilateral agreement on the prevention of incidents on and over the high seas.
That's White House spokesman Josh Earnest.
Ships engaged in launching or landing aircraft shall not permit simulated attacks by the simulated use of weapons against aircraft and ships.
A few days ago, Russian bombers conducted simulated attack passes near the USS Donald Cook in the Baltic Sea.
The United States has raised our concerns with the Russians.
A Russian military spokesman denying that the actions by those warplanes should have been seen as anything provocative. In Washington, for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Nearly 5 years after the earthquake that rattled its foundation, the National Cathedral in Washington, D.C., entering phase two of its restoration work, USA Radio's Anthony Lucero.
We are introducing some new technology to try and help these pieces perform better in an earthquake.
Cathedral Director of Preservation and Facilities Jim Shepherd says it will include removing the broken pinnacles atop of one of the cathedral's towers and then installing new ones. Officials estimate it will take at least another 10 years and $22 million in order to finish the repairs.
The California taxi service for kids being pushed to the curb by a tight money environment. San Francisco Bay Area ride hailing company Shuttle is shutting down today. This is USA Radio News.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njfin.com. That's njfin.com.
All right, welcome back to Good Morning, 100AdventureWare.com. Freeholder Rob Walton is in the house. We're going to talk with him about a whole bunch of things going on in 100 County. So we got plenty of time. We hope we have plenty of time to do it. I appreciate you coming on, Freeholder Walton. I appreciate you coming in to talk some really tough issues today. So good morning.
Good morning. I'm glad, always glad to come in and speak on the issues.
Good.
Never been shy about speaking my mind.
That has been apparent, and I've seen it in the notes, in the meeting notes with the freeholders. So just to be transparent here, you are not up for election this year.
No, I am not.
Okay, so we're not on the stump. We're just frustrated with the world of Hunter County. So let's start where we want to start. The Economic Development Plan, the SEDS, has been out there, and gosh, we've been working on this thing for 2 years now.
It's actually longer than that.
Well, it was completed back in late 2014, right?
Yes, we applied for the grant probably 4 years ago, received the grant, started the study, the analysis, produced a plan, had some comments on the plan, sent the plan to the U.S. federal government, and they have a role in all of this, God only knows why.
Yes.
And it came back to us with their stamp of approval, which, of course, gives me a nice warm, fuzzy feeling inside. And now we are embarking on the implementation phase of SEDS.
Okay.
And I voted for the grant because, for one thing, the federal government incentivizes counties to have these plans by providing extra funding for road projects and the like that are in a SEDS. So certainly government's role is to provide for transportation infrastructure.
Okay.
And it is certainly to our advantage to leverage as much federal funds as we can to reduce the cost of Hunterdon County property taxpayers for our road projects. So there's a good reason to.
So a question about that. So it does direct you to a certain extent to focus on certain things, but is there any more things that you're tied to because you're getting them involved?
No.
Okay.
No, not that I believe so.
All right, that's good.
So I voted for the grant application. Then when the grant, I voted to accept the grant. When the study was produced, I voted for it. These studies are a wonderful snapshot in time, and they're wonderful at telling me what just happened over the last 10 years.
Yes.
They're usually not very good about what's going to happen over the next 10 years.
Oh, now we're going to talk.
Nobody really knows what happened in the next 10 years.
This is exactly my frustration. When I was in leadership learning and we talked about the Sims, I spoke about this specifically. I said, it's nice that you have all this, and it's nice that you're making plans, but if you plan on what's going on 10 years from now, and it's glacial how fast this happens, by the time we get there, the world could completely change, and you've set yourself up for absolute disaster.
Correct. I mean, this is the nature of government economic plans. And the thing about trends, the last four letters, trends, ends. I mean, these things come to an end.
Right.
No one saw millennials deciding to delay childbearing and marriage and buying homes by 10, 15, 20 years, depending on who you listen to. And what we see now, suddenly they're starting to realize, hey, you know what, living in Hoboken above a bar with a kid isn't exactly the best thing to do.
Right.
And they're starting to come back and buy single-family homes. This took a little while for them to get around to, you know.
Well, that's an interesting point because we've learned that kids today, and I'm not bashing them or dissing them, but we've learned that the maturity span has extended.
Interesting.
So, you know, kids that were 18 to 30 years ago had a maturity level of what is today about 25.
Well, as a father of a 14 and 9-year-olds, that does not warm my heart.
I'm sorry, man, but we've extended their life in college, and so that evolution, Darwinism, is making us. So, yeah, they realize 5 years later. Hmm. Sorry to digress.
Yeah, I know, it's okay. They're a bit down there, but so we have this plan, and it says, here's what's happened in the last 10 years, therefore, here's what's going to happen in the next 10 years, and right. Therefore, adopt these policies. And right there, I say, whoa, stop.
Yeah.
Anytime government starts trying to monkey around with the market, it screws it up royally.
Right.
And we've seen this time and time again. You know, you look at the worst recessions, depressions in the history of this country, they were matched by the greatest amount of government intervention into the market, whether it's the Great Depression, the recent recession. So I do not like the government trying to put its finger on the scale, picking winners over the losers, trying to direct and guide the market. That's what a free market and economic mechanics do. I went to one of the Senate presentations of one of the municipalities, and a lot of what they talk about, my colleagues, is very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
But some of it is just dead wrong. As an example, they said the reason we need a Senate is because of Liberty Village. Now, Liberty Village was an economic plan. Someone decided, in their infinite wisdom, 30 years ago, 25 years ago, that if we built this retail destination, people will come by the busload to Hunterdon County, shop at Liberty Village, and then there will be an economic spillover for the region that will benefit Flemington, Raritan Township in the area.
And that was the only outlet center at the time. It was a brilliant, ingenious idea.
Yes, until the underlying premise of the plan fell apart. The underlying premise being there's no place else like this. Well, suddenly it was so successful that there were lots of places like this. And those places tweaked the model to improve where Liberty Village may have been a little bit off. They were closer to population centers, and suddenly the Liberty Village plan stopped working, which is the nature of plans like this. They eventually don't work, and SEDS is not going to prevent a Liberty Village situation. SEDS is only going to create new Liberty Village situations.
Right. We're going to buy into it, we're going to put in a plan, we're going to enact it, and then eventually it's going to erode, and we've got to be flexible.
Yes. And that's in marketplace economics, free markets, whether you know Adam Smith, Milton Friedman, Friedrich Hayek, you know, all these great philosophers of economics will tell you that these things simply don't work. Mm-hmm. And they should be free from government, the economy. Now, that's not to say that some of this economic stuff is not helpful. Mm-hmm. This is retention, which the chamber has engaged in. There's much in the sense that is good and can be helpful. The problem is we've placed it all inside government. You look at the Business Improvement District in Flemington, whether it's the new one or the old one. You look at RSEDs, any of these acronyms that we've placed in government bureaucracies, they run up against human nature. And they all are well respond to incentives. We eat cookies. Why? Because they taste good. Why do we eat 3 cookies and not 20? Because they make us fat. We respond to incentives. So elected officials, office holders, politicians, whatever term you wish to use, respond to incentives. Those incentives are different than the incentives a business leader responds to, compared to the incentives that a corporation responds to. It doesn't make us good or bad, it's just different. And we've placed the economic development projects into the hands of people who do not have economic development incentives. And then we wonder why these things go awry, as we've seen in downtown Flemington, which, 5 years later, is still, no further ahead than it was.
We just had 3 failures. That's all we had. We had redevelopment. We created for redevelopment. Tried to get somebody in there. I don't know whether that process was on the up and up, or whether there was a little friendship going on, or just because everybody's getting their fingers in it and it just dissolves. You've got people who are sitting there trying to protect the Union Hotel because it's their baby, and the other option, which Jack Cuss Jr. said, is it's time to get rid of it. It's we've tried this twice. Why is the third time going to work? So he said, let's go a different route. Let's get rid of it and put something else in there that's more viable, that performs the way the Union Hotel did, but with a better 21st century work.
Exactly. And I don't pretend to know whether Jack Cuss development will work or not.
I don't either.
I'm a mechanical engineer by degree.
Right.
I am an external affairs representative by profession right now.
Mm-hmm.
I am not an entrepreneur. I'm not a businessman.
Right.
And last I checked, neither were the folks in BID, SEDS,
right,
Flemington Borough Council, Hunter County Freehold Board. So I don't believe any of us should be getting in the way of the free market and letting Mr. Cust, if he thinks this is a wise place to invest his money,
mm-hmm,
let him invest it. If it works, great. If it doesn't, someone else will come along and invest the money to make a profit.
There's a challenge to this, though.
Sure.
And that's the challenge is that you don't want somebody coming in and railroading the entire world because it's in their best interest. Now, I'm not saying Jack Cust is coming in and going to make selfish decisions. I don't think that's the case. But I don't think he's got the complete point of view. I don't think anybody ever has the complete point of view. So my point is that you need to still have other points of view, government points of view, business points of view, to make sure we make the correct decision for all. How do you do that? And not have somebody posturing, but still come down to the right answer and not make it glacial?
Well, first of all, there are no such things as right answers, unless you're talking about math problems.
Well, the right answer, I would say, is the one that's collectively thought through by all the perspectives. That's the only way you're going to get close to the right answer.
I guess I would, again, dismiss the premise.
Okay.
Life is not about the right answer. Life is about trade-offs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You want to have a vibrant downtown? Well, the trade-off is you might have to leave the Union Hotel. You want to have a beautiful Union Hotel preserved for historical posterity? Okay. Then guess what? You don't have the same economic vitality that you once had. It's trade-offs.
Right.
You want to taste delicious cookies? Okay, the trade-off is you got to go for a jog the next day. There's no right answer to any of these things. It's simply a matter of choices.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, you can certainly take the collective into account, but ultimately, the collective's not going to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's going to pay for it.
Right.
And that person who's risking their capital should be the one allowed to make the decision, because when you have nothing at risk, you don't really make very good choices.
Right.
And we see this with government all the time. Government doesn't risk any of its own money because government doesn't have money.
Right.
It takes money from taxpayers.
Yes.
So if you're going to go spend your money Chris, on a business venture. Mm-hmm. You want to be very careful about what it is because it's your money at risk. You're the one who's going to lose out, not some phantom invisible taxpayer somewhere. You are. Jack Cust, if he does this, he's the one that's going to lose or win.
Mm-hmm.
All the folks who are speaking out against the project, for the project, very few of them have any real skin in the game.
Yes.
And that's the problem with a lot of this economic development stuff when it's put in the hands of government, is they don't have skin in the game. They don't have, there's no consequence if this says it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
No one's going to lose any money.
Right.
So you put these decisions into the hands of people who have skin in the game, for whom there's a consequence if things go right or wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way I think the most optimal decisions are made. You use the word correct, I would use the word optimal.
Fair enough. The only thing I would like to bring up, though, from an extreme point of view, and I'm not saying that this would happen in a fundamental world, but let's just take this extreme point of view. Back in the 70s, Manhattan and 42nd Street economically went into a place where that particular part of the city was really ugly. It was all the X-rated movies and stuff like that. That was all decided by market forces. Right? So, it obviously wasn't the best interest for all of Manhattan, but it was market forces. So, that's why I'm saying you need to have some... Now, you know, I'm not saying that Jack Cust is interested in doing anything like that, and I think he's got our best interest. But if somebody had come in and just was free to do whatever they wanted, and we're going to use market forces, they could impose their will by making an investment, and that is going to affect everybody else externally. That person still could make a lot of money on that investment. It would still make this place a lot worse. So that's what I'm trying to avoid, is that extreme direction.
I understood. And I guess, first of all, with New York, I think if you look at the social forces that occurred and the abandonment by the city government of basic policing functions and other basic government functions, you had a liberalization of policies in the city, a tolerance for things that should have been intolerable anywhere.
Right.
That allowed Manhattan to go the way that it did.
Right.
And certainly, the businesses that are there now are much more profitable,
yes,
than what was there before, because Rudy Giuliani, to his credit, did what government was supposed to do, and dealt with criminals, dealt with the social ills in the city,
mm-hmm,
and let the marketplace do the rest.
Yeah.
And that's government, as a conservative, a lot of folks say, you hate government, you're anti-government. No. I love government.
Right.
As long as it does what it's supposed to do and nothing else.
Yes.
I love limited government, small government, that does the core functions. And when it starts to go outside of its role,
mm-hmm,
it doesn't work.
Right.
So much of our problems today with the anti-establishment, with Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump, is an anger at government. And the problem is...
Correct.
And we've asked government to do too much. I stub my toe, government needs to solve a problem.
Right.
I've gained 10 pounds, but government needs to put food labels on my, please. You know it's bad for you. The government has to tell you this. But we have reflexively, maybe we're delaying, maybe this maturity thing you're talking about is a good explanation, but we are reflexively asking government to take care of us.
Right.
And downtown funding is not working. Well, the government must need to solve the problem. 100 counties' economy is sliding. Well, county government must need to do something. Maybe the answer is no. Let's let the marketplace work. Let's,
mm-hmm,
scale back government. Let's get government out of the way,
right,
and allow the market to work. You look at the state of Texas where they have a booming economy,
mm-hmm,
because the market is allowed to work, and people are leaving California,
mm-hmm,
because there the market is extraordinarily constricted by the government.
Mm-hmm.
In New
Jersey. They created their own monster.
And we are heading down that same road very fast here in New Jersey,
mm-hmm,
with our taxes and regulatory climate. Again, people respond to incentives. You create a tax on something. We tax cigarettes because we want to disincentivize kids to smoke. So we raise the tax on cigarettes, less people smoke. We raise the tax on businesses, and suddenly we're surprised that there's less business.
I agree. Okay.
It's ponderous, man. Okay. These people don't get it. and so getting back to the county and to the Funnington Sets, there's this reflexive instinct in people today, sadly, to expect the government to solve these problems. And, some, and government can't solve these problems. Government can fill potholes. Mm-hmm. We're very good at doing that. We can fund firefighters to put out fires. We're very good at that. Mm-hmm. Government is very good at distributing aid to those people who are the least among us, who are the most neediest among us.
Right.
Yeah, we're pretty good at that kind of stuff. Providing a true safety net. Once you get beyond that, you're not that good at it.
Yeah.
And you should not be asking government to do it.
And most of the time, those people who are in those roles don't have all the expertise necessary to make those decisions.
Well, no one has the expertise to make these decisions, because the presumption is that one person in a central role, let's call it an economic development director, can somehow gather the sufficient knowledge and information to be wiser than the 130,000 people of this county, acting independently in their own self-interest out there in the marketplace. You can't build a computer big enough to gather that information to be smarter than people acting independently in the free market. It just isn't possible. You know, we don't, from buying groceries to dry cleaning to all these things we do in the marketplace, the presumption that somebody in some government bureaucracy can know better and therefore organize it better is just folly.
Mm-hmm.
And everywhere it's been tried,
right,
it's failed.
Yes.
But we keep trying to say, oh, no, we're just going to tweak it a little bit. We're just going to, it's not the model that's wrong. It's how they did it. No, it's the model that's wrong.
Right. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll give Rob a second to get some water, and we'll be right back with more of Good Morning 100 to talk more about this.
A six-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on every Thursday every month. Please call NAMI Huntington at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join in. NAMI Huntington, the voice for mental health in Burton County.
This is Jeannie Aversa, CRPC, Financial Advisor at Patton Hiding Associates. Do you have questions about your retirement, like will your money last throughout your lifetime? Will you have enough to live the life you want? And when will you be able to retire? If so, you're not alone. As a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., Patton Hiding Associates can help you find the answers with the exclusive Confident Retirement Approach. We'll work with you one-to-one to understand your goals and discuss the four key areas of retirement, including covering your essentials, lifestyle, protection, and legacy needs. From there, we'll work together to develop a retirement roadmap with clear steps you can take to help you retire on your terms. Call Patton Hiding Associates today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. The Confident Retirement Approach is not a guarantee of future financial results. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor.
All right, welcome back to Good Morning, Huntington.com. I have shareholder Rob Walton with me today, and we are dissecting the SEDS and the economic status of Huntington County. So, Rob, we... The SEDS as a document has some great information that you say is viable. The process in which we're trying to implement it is the concern. How would we unravel that and do it better?
Sure. Two things on that. First, if you look at what county government does,
mm-hmm.
at least and what I believe it should only do in a limited, small scope county government, we make lots of decisions that have an economic impact. As an example, we built the North Huntington, the North Branch Library in Clinton 20 years ago or so, 15 years ago.
Right.
When we built that, we made an economic choice, whether we realize it or not. We put it on the outskirts of the town of Clinton. And in doing so, it really generates almost no economic activity. Had we looked at building that through the lens of SEDS, we probably would have built that closer to downtown Clinton. That way, mom and dad take the kids to the library to get that children's book to do some reading. When they're done reading, they're going to walk the block or the next door down to go to the ice cream shop.
Yeah.
Or maybe mom and dad are going to go to the coffee shop to get a cup of coffee and read that book they just checked out.
Yeah.
That's a way where county government, SEDS, and economic prosperity can meld well.
Mm-hmm.
Deer Path Park, beautiful park. We have all of our summer concerts up there. The problem is there's nothing there other than the park. So instead of having it someplace where folks can get a nice dinner and some wine and then go to the concert, or go to the concert then go out to dinner for some dinner and wine, we have it in the middle of the woods.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful park. We certainly need parks in the middle of the woods because you want to get away from walking time to time. But as an active recreation park where lots of people are coming, it probably wasn't the most ideal location if you're looking at it through the SEDS. And certainly, when we start making government choices about locating facilities, about building structures, about lots of things, we need to also take into account what will be the economic impact of that decision. And county government has not done that heretofore. So certainly SEDS has a value in helping us craft the noble decisions we make as county government.
Mm-hmm.
The alternative, what should we be doing?
Right.
I like the Morris County model, where they have an economic development corporation. It is a private, not-for-profit corporation. It happens to be in Morris County, housed with their Chamber of Commerce.
Mm-hmm.
But it is a separate entity. It's its own corporate board, its own corporate governance. It does get public funding. I have no issue with public funding, because certainly there is a public interest in seeing a robust economy. But all those decisions are driven by the private board,
mm-hmm.
business leaders, entrepreneurs, not driven by county government. And in the SEDS presentations that my colleagues are doing at AN, I think my colleagues are sincere and really want to help the economy. I just think they're going about it the wrong way.
Right.
There is a slide that shows the SEDS configuration. And at the bottom, you've got the 77-some-odd SEDS subcommittees.
Mm-hmm.
And above that, you've got the steering committee. That's where the private participation is in the SEDS. It's in the steering committee and in those multiple subcommittees. Above that is our new economic development director. Okay? That's where the slide ends. Now, what the slide doesn't show is the rest of this org chart. Above the economic development director is another government bureaucrat. Above her is another government bureaucrat. And above that government bureaucrat are five elected officials.
Right. So by the time it's filtered down, we've had it filtered from the lens of...
Yeah, it's not a partnership. I mean, if I organize my marriage that way, I say, yes, dear, you're in the transportation subcommittee, she'd slap me. You know, that's not a partnership.
Right.
Because anytime they want to apply for a grant, they want to accept that grant. They want to spend money. They want to get a budget. They want to promote somebody. They want to add staff. It's got to go through those committees to the economic development director, to the director of the Department of Planning, Land Use, and Parks, to the chief of staff of County of Hunterdon, and then to the five freeholders. That's an awful lot of government layers to go through to do anything. That's not, in my mind, an effective, nimble, public-private entity. A not-for-profit, removed from county government, receiving partial public funding, will be free and able to do what it has to do. It will also be free from the politics. And inevitably, politics enters into these things because we have different incentives than business leaders do. We are up for election every 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
We want to get re-elected. We're elected to the next office. We just have different incentives than does a business leader. Our horizon as elected officials is shorter because we've got terms.
There is exactly the reason why we have a lot of trouble in Washington today. I want to digress completely. Yes, they make a lot of short-term decisions to acquire that re-election, but everybody's kicking the can down the road and Social Security and health care.
Absolutely, and same here at the state.
Yep.
With the Transportation Trust Fund and pensions, yes, we're all looking ahead to the next election.
Mm-hmm.
A business leader, an entrepreneur, understands that he may invest a boatload of money now. It may take him 10 years to recoup that investment, but he's in it for the long haul. It's a different incentive and different reasoning. And my fear is that because we've put not just SEDS, but the bid you know, in the hands of government control, it's going to run up against these incentives. And we saw it in Farmington play out.
Yeah, well, that was interesting because, you know, when I first came into this area and started getting more in depth and understanding it, the appearance was that the bid was imprudent. But that's not actually the case.
Well, I think that Farmington businesses were very wise in trying to organize a business organization to try to promote and improve the business climate of the downtown.
Mm-hmm.
Where they made their mistake was going to the governing body and asking them to create it. Now, and here's the problem. Is the lure of easy money is a very strong appeal to the Glenn Frey song.
That's the point.
So they went to the governing body and said, just create the special tax.
Mm-hmm.
And then they went about creating this bid with the expectation they'd be independent. But there never were. They were a creature of the governing body.
Right.
They were dependent upon the revenue from the governing body, and they were surprised when the governing body stepped in and said, we don't like what's going on here.
Right.
Well, if you truly want to be independent, and I get that in some places the bids are left alone to a much greater degree. The flip side of that argument is there are bids that did a better job than this bid did. I'm not judging any of that.
Yeah.
But when you ask for your business entity to be created by politicians, and then politics interferes, why are you surprised?
Yeah. Everybody's going to leave it alone if it's going along. Any time it's going to have a problem is when it has a problem. And so that's what happened this time. They didn't like it. They didn't like the way things were being used.
I think that my critique of the bid, I don't think they managed expectations well. And you know, in my day job, if I tell a customer, I work for the electric company,
right.
If I tell a customer, you're going to be without power for 4 hours, and they get back in three,
right.
We're heroes.
Yeah.
If I say we'll get your power back in two, and they get back in three, we're awful.
Right.
It's the same duration of an outage, but it's the expectation. And I don't think the bid took the time to educate the public about how this process was going to work. And I think they didn't understand who their audience was. I think they felt their audience was strictly the businesses. Well, because you are a creature of borough council,
mm-hmm.
and borough council answers to the electorate of Farmington, your audience really is the Farmington borough voters. And making sure they understand and appreciate and support what you're doing is enormously important to what the bid needed to do. And I think what this new bid should be doing is making sure that it keeps the public engaged if they want to succeed in this new bid. I don't think they did that. And then the council did what they're supposed to do. They responded to the will of their people. The people of Farmington, from my sense of it, really didn't like how the bid was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And the Farmington Borough Council responded to that incentive. Gee, my electorate doesn't like the way things are going? Well, I'll fix it.
And dissolve it, move on. So, the lesson learned. So, how do we... That's we're setting ourselves up potentially for the same thing.
Yeah. That's my fear. And, even if I'm sure that this bid, the SEDS, if continued the way it's going, will have some successes. But I don't believe it will be optimal.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you want to have the optimal outcome as much as possible. And the gentleman we've hired to do economic development, he came from a county where they had an economic development corporation. He came from a public-private partnership that was part public-funded, largely private-funded, but that was left alone to do what it needed to do. It was not...
So it was close to the Morris County model.
It was almost identical to the Morris County model. And when he came here to interview with us and interview with SEDS committee members, he said, this is the way to go. It's ironic that the first act of the board is not to follow his advice. You know, we hired this guy for his advice, and the first thing he says is, this is the way you do it. We say, I'm not going to listen to that.
Right.
I don't...
So how long is this guy going to last? I mean, seriously, if he runs into that type of stonewalling, and I'm not saying it's intentional stonewalling, but just a difference of opinion, how long is he going to last before he moves on and we got somebody else going to
be? That's the fear, certainly. And I am hopeful that these things don't pop up and that this becomes an enormous success. I'm not rooting against any of this.
Right.
I'm just a realist, and I see what's happened before elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I know how these models generally go, and I'm concerned. And That's not to say that we won't have successes. I think that the gentleman we've hired is a good guy. He's sincere. Mm-hmm. I think he gets a lot of the stuff we're trying to do. You know, I asked him a question about ribbon cuttings. You know, do you think you should be appearing at ribbon cuttings? And he said, no, that's not my job. My job is to be behind the scenes doing the hard work of economic development. I'll leave the ribbon cuttings to the elected officials. You're the guys who want to get, you know, which I thought was a great answer for the economic development director. It isn't about him. It's about the economy. It's about the businesses. So I have high hopes for him.
Is he empowered?
I don't know. And that would be the question, right? It's too early to tell, because right now he's learning about Hunterdon County. He's never lived here. He's only been here for probably 4 weeks or so. He worked in Bark County, Ohio. He had been in the school in Florida, and I think he had grew up somewhere in the Philadelphia area. Mm-hmm. So he understands the Northeast to a certain degree, and he certainly understands economic development. He was not a bad hire. You know. Mm-hmm. He just put him in the wrong place. I think he'll do a good job. I think he'll be sincere and hardworking, and right now he's getting to learn Hunterdon County. He's getting to learn all of the peculiarities, all the politics, all the players. So he's not yet had to come and ask for a recommendation or make a recommendation that we have to follow. You know, the one thing that is concerning to me is that he's been told to drop the talk of a public-private corporation, which, you know, I think it's important that he be free to make that recommendation.
So that's an example right off the bat of a different lens and a restriction on this man having the empowerment to do what he wants to do. Not only doing it, but simply talking about it, simply bringing up the issue to be discussed openly and making the right decision.
Yes.
It's a tough question, Rob, but you got five people up there, the freeholders, that are hearing this, and I'm assuming you're in the minority.
I'm alone. And yeah,
so four others think that this is a viable way to...
Well, four others are supporting it. I suspect that some of them believe that the public-private model is probably optimal. I think some of them would like to see this move that way over time. I think some of them are opposed to it entirely, but I'm sure they can be happy to explain their position on this.
I'm
alone in calling for this now, and I was alone for calling for it before we hired the person. I was alone in voting against the division creation, voting against the hiring. And again, it's not because I'm opposed to SEDS. SEDS is a very good plan. It's a good analysis.
It's not being spun that way.
No, I don't think so. But you know, but it can be. It's really, you know, wise balling against economic prosperity. You know, no, I love to see the economy thrive. I think we ought to go down this road, not down that road.
Is there a clock? Is there a way that you can convince the other four freeholders to at least, for you to acquiesce for a certain amount, which you have to anyway, but say, let's put a time limit on this. Let's look at this again a year from now.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, we need to have some benchmarks. And I think that's part of what the new director is going to try to establish is what are some benchmarks for success that will show this is working or not. Mm-hmm. And if we don't get to those, then you got to start asking, okay, why? And is it the model? What's the holdup? The problem with that is the people who are creating the benchmarks are the same ones who created this model. So, you know, it's sort of like asking my son, Jason, what's the criteria for you being a good boy?
Right.
Well, Dad, only eating 10 cookies is my criteria to be a good boy.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you know, gee, you ate 9 today, so you must be a good boy. You know, it's not the way you measure these things.
Well, there should be, I would think, some other place that we can get objective.
I think
benchmark.
The other objective benchmark, the other criteria, will come from people who are involved in it. You know, we've got some private participation, and if they don't see this thing moving along the way it should, you'll start seeing those folks expressing frustration, perhaps dropping out, perhaps speaking out publicly if they see things going the wrong way. Again, nothing's been tried to be done.
It's not collaboration, though. That's the part that frustrates me. Is you don't want it to get to the point where somebody that's on that subcommittee that's a business person who would be is an appropriate person to have there and has valid ideas get frustrated and walk out, because all you didn't know is you're covering your tracks and trying to put band-aids on the problem to appease that person. That person's ideas should be brought up to the forefront and acknowledged then.
And that's another concern I have about the sort of the process we're going through. You know, the a few weeks ago, there was a stakeholders meeting, a steering committee meeting, and it wasn't, not advertised, no published agenda, no published meeting minutes, so we really don't know what's happening. You know, and again, it's in some ways we're combining the worst of the public and the worst of private. Mm-hmm. A private process, the public is completely out of the know as far as what's going on. And the worst of a public process is it's all bureaucrats. Mm-hmm. You know, well, we've got all the bureaucrats, and we've got all the privacy. That's not the best of both. I think there are certainly people in there who are strong-willed enough to speak up when they think that something is going wrong. And there are certainly folks who know where I stand, that know they have an ally if they have an issue with this. But it's a fair question. That will be the challenge, is how do we measure this? When do we cut bait? Mm-hmm. At what point do you say this isn't working, we need to change?
Right. Well, another question, and it has to do with, again, the five freeholders, is that you five freeholders are, in fact, the leaders, and there's an old adage that the organization runs the way the leadership provides it. And so there's a possibility that we, unfortunately, are starting to show some fragmented perspective, and therefore this might not get as much traction as it needs to.
Well, look, we agree on about 95%, maybe 98% of what we do in the field reports. You know, we have disagreements on five things. You know, we disagree on the golf course. We disagree on the role of SEDS. We disagree on some other minor things. But, you know, on most other things, we are in agreement. We work together well, I think, for the most part. And part of the reason we work well is because we are free to express our disagreements. And
that's good.
You know, I'm on that dais, and when I think these guys are doing something wrong, I say it. And sometimes they say, you know what, Rob, you're half right, we're going to come a little bit your way. And sometimes they say, Rob, you're just after lunch, and we're not going to do it, you know. The golf course being a prime example. I am just adamantly against the golf course, but my colleagues think it's the greatest thing since sliced bread, and they're moving full steam ahead with this clubhouse, restaurant, bar, banquet hall. You know, okay, I'm still going to speak my mind on it, and they know where I stand, and we have our deliberation on it, and we move on to the next issue.
Well, that's cool, because and then you personally can say, at least I spoke my mind, and
yes.
and I accept the fact that the majority decided one way.
Yep.
So how does that differ from what you're tolerating now with the SEDS?
Well, I don't think, maybe tolerating is too strong a word. I mean, I'm out there advocating and hoping that I can convince the public to see things my way, and again, going back to incentives, mm-hmm. we all respond to the public. And, you know, if the public says, don't do this or don't do that, we're going to respond. And there are times where, as a leader, you have to tell the public they're wrong, mm-hmm. and you want to go this way. I think the golf course is an example of that. I think the most people probably support or don't have an issue with having us build a clubhouse at the golf course and a banquet hall and a restaurant and a bar.
No, as from an objective point of view, it's a great idea. The problem is it's being paid for by people who don't want to pay for it.
Well, that's, yeah. So you know, my objection is, so I make my case, and people are going to choose to support the issue based on the arguments they hear.
Mm-hmm. All right. We're going to take another quick break. We are flying through this hour. I'm going to have to ask this man to come back, because we got to talk more about it. You're listening to Good Morning, Hunter, and I'm Hunter Rickon. We'll be right back with more for you.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Whitehead Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I delivered this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling a home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to get any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunter and Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunter and Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HunterdonChamberRadio.com app today.
All right, you're listening to Good Morning HunterdonChamber.com. We're listening to Freeholder Rob Walton. We're talking about the SEDS and the economic viability of Hunterdon County. Before the break, Rob, you said you're trying to get your message out to the folks. I know there's a bunch of municipality, the freeholders are going out and talking to most of the municipalities, presenting the SEDS. The problem is, the concern is, from my point of view, that just like people going to vote, those people, only the people who are going to, who have a concern, are going. Those that don't have a concern, which are a lot of the people that you're trying to reach to change their mind, are not going to hear. So how do you reach them? What are you going to do to spin this around to convince them that we need to adjust this execution?
Well, part of it is obviously coming on this morning radio show to speak my mind and present a different point of view. I think that a lot of folks don't know that there is an alternative means of doing this. They sort of, you hear the SEDS presentation, you
see them.
It is. It's a lot of information. Then they go through, here's how we're doing it, and it's, boy, this sounds really great. And you don't take the time to think through, is this really the best approach? So,
right.
I mean, I've spoken out at council, at the freeholder meetings, and it's certainly gotten reported in the paper that I think there's a different way to go. And we certainly have gotten a lot of favorable response from my position about making this thing private. People generally who are reading these articles agree. So, again, speaking out of freeholder meetings, talking to any audience who will listen to me. I was at the planning board meeting about a week ago on a separate issue, and while I was there, I said, guys, I know you're involved in the SEDS process, but here's another way that I think it should work. And I had two members say, Rob's right. This is the way we want to do it. So I think the message is getting through. I think it will take time. And this is how our democracy works, is you go out there to the public square, you present your case, you try to communicate to folks as often as you can, as effectively as you can, and at the end of the day, there are elections, people vote, and
here's the caveat to that, and this is the biggest problem with politics today, and the reason we've got the craziness going on in the prison, apathy.
Yes, and I that's the apathy that we all see, I perceive as being a failure of understanding what government's role really is. I drive a Toyota Camry. Okay, it's a nice, efficient car. It's going to last me several hundred thousand miles. It's not fancy, but it's ready to go. It's good, reliable transportation. Now, if I put a tow hitch on it and started to tow around a big boat, my Camry would fail. It's not because the Camry's a bad car. It's because I've given it too much to do. Same thing with government. Our government institutions work if they're only expected to do the core things they're supposed to do. But we have put so much responsibility into federal, state, and local government to take care of all of these ills, and it's not working. And what do people when they work for office do? They promise you're going to go there and fix it.
Mm.
Don't promise me you're going to fix it. Promise you're going to go there and take the tow hitch off.
Mm.
Relieve me of the burden.
Mm.
You look at the presidential race, and people are angry on both sides of the aisle. If they're angry, they're voting for Bernie Sanders, they're angry they're voting for Trump, because we have not done a very good job of explaining and getting people to understand what government can and can't do. And we have this expectation that government can operate with the efficiency of FedEx. We just can't. It's not built that way. You know, we built the government to be slow, deliberative, to not have things get done. And people want government to get things done. Well, out of the school and says, I don't want government to get things done. I'm very happy government can't get things done because I don't want to do a whole lot. And the things that it can't get done are things it probably shouldn't be doing. You know, go back to defending the borders. Go back to a strong military. That's about it at the federal level. You know, I want a state government to fix the roads, to provide a safety net, to fund schools properly. And that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
And we keep putting more and more weight onto this vehicle, and it fails. I think that apathy is understandable, but we need to engage people and explain to them why it's important that they remain involved. And I certainly do that at every opportunity that I have, whether it's on a radio show, at a public forum, listening to my conversations at the firehouse. You know, you have to stay engaged because it's your democracy, it's your country.
Well, the only problem is that people are really busy, which you are as well. And there's a small percentage of people that go over and above the normal 9-to-5 job and put in effort on freeholders, ideas of radio stationers. But most of the other people don't have the capacity to sit down and absorb this.
Understood. And I think if you ask those, but they all have time on Sunday night to watch The Walking Dead.
Yeah, well, it's a lot more interesting.
Well,
so then the question is, how do you make